Hey, it's good to be here this morning. Good to see you. You guys look Christmassy this morning. I love it. I love it. It's so good to have you here. It's a good morning. It really is. And like Christmas time is here, isn't it? Like, can you feel it? Like, it's here. Like, for me, it's always hard to believe how quickly Christmas time comes every year. Like, every year, like, I feel like it was only just yesterday that I was in Spain, you know, having some delicious food and walking in the sunshine with my dad, and in the blink of an eye, it's Christmas time. Or maybe for you, it was, oh, you know, maybe in the summertime, you were out doing your hikes or your walks, or you were out at the beach, and all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, here it is. Each year, it just feels like here we are. It's Christmas. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for Christmas? Like, it's the 22nd today. Do you feel ready for it? And I know this is going to sound cliche, but really the question, are you ready for it? Is it really for the ladies? We know, right? I'm asking the guys. Like, you got, like, it's the 22nd. You got 2 days, fellas. You got 2 days to get it together. And I'll be completely honest, like, this last Tuesday, I found myself at the mall. I did. It was not fun. The only fun part about it was that I ran into Marlene, and that was a nice treat, because I wasn't expecting to run into anyone, because now they know I wasn't at work. But I was at the mall. It was not a good time. It was full. There was no parking. It was not, I have to learn from my wife, and I just need to shop on Amazon. I really do. You can get that done, like, in September. But everyone there at the mall, and everyone's thinking, what they were all doing is, everyone's looking for the gifts. Like, that's what you're doing at this time. You're looking for gifts. You're looking for that perfect gift, the one that's gonna put the smile on that loved one, child, friend, neighbor, coworker, whoever it is that you're buying. Like, we're all the same. Like, we hand over a gift, and then we just sit there with anticipation, don't we? And we're like, oh, I can't wait till they open this. I want to see the look on their face. I want to see that I got the perfect gift for them. And usually, if you leave it to the last minute, not quite the perfect gift, I'll be honest. I was pretty scrambly on Tuesday. I'm not going to say what I bought, but we'll see. Gifts are important. I think we all love receiving gifts, and we love giving gifts. It's just part of who we are. My love language, my mom's love language, which she's passed on to me, is gift giving. So my mom, she's really good at gift giving. She'll go to, like, Dollarama and just buy stuff. And even sometimes when we fly back to Calgary, not that we fly very often, she's like, hey, I got you all these things. And we're like, Mom, we're on the flight where we can't even take carry-on luggage. Like, if you're going to give me something, just make sure it's in an envelope and it's green. You know, and so for me, gift giving is part of that. I love handing out good gifts. And over the last few weeks here at City Light, one of the things that we've been talking about through our preaching series is about gifts, about the gifts of Christmas. And we've been looking at the gifts of hope and love and joy. Today we're going to take a quick look at peace as we go through our talk here this morning. And those are the kind of gifts that we've been looking at here in this season. Man, don't those sound like wonderful gifts to you? Like, when you're looking for the perfect gift, or you would like to receive that perfect gift? Hope and love and joy and peace. Who doesn't need that nowadays? Who doesn't need a little bit of hope? Oh, who doesn't need to feel loved or find, you know, those sparks of joy? Man, I think we all need a little bit of peace right now. They're wonderful gifts, and they really are. So I'd like you to do something for me this morning really quickly. I want you to just kind of go back in time. I want you to go back in time to when you were a kid, like you were just little. I want you to go back to that place, and I want you to try and remember the one gift that you received that had the most impact on your life. like when you were just a little kid. You know, that gift that you wanted so badly, like you could taste it. You weren't even sure you were going to get that gift. Like you wrote it down on your list just in case and hoping that maybe it'll show up under the tree. Can you picture that one for yourself? Just try and picture it for a minute. That one gift. That one that you opened. And when you opened it, what happened was you could hardly believe it was real. You sat there, you opened this, and you're like, oh, is this real life? I can't believe this is it. I got what I always wanted. And your heart, it just felt like it was going to burst as you opened up this gift. Like you couldn't believe it. You're like, I never thought I would get this. And it just filled your heart up. And as a kid, as a child, really, you couldn't even put like words to those emotions. You felt like you could laugh and you could cry at the same time. Do you know that feeling that I'm talking about where you're laughing and you're crying at the same, and you're like, why am I laughing? And why am I crying? Why is my heart so full? I don't know what to do. And you're leaking everywhere, but you're laughing at the same time. And you're like, I'm a fool. I don't know what to do with this. Kids are good at that. You see kids, you see videos of kids all the time and they're laughing. I saw a video this last week of a little girl and she's about to get her booster shot. And she's laughing. And then she's crying. And then she's laugh crying. And then she's making crazy noises. Whoa, she's going. I'm like, oh, hey, that's like me when I have to go get blood. They got to lay me down and I don't know whether to laugh or cry. I don't know what's happening. When I was a kid, I had a moment where this gift was given to me and it made an impact. 1981, I was like eight years old. 1981, my wife was just born that year. Oh my gosh. Yeah. 1981 started off as a really good year for our family. My mom had just remarried. And we were starting this new life as a family. My sister was born in August of that year. We were excited. We were starting this new chapter. 2 weeks after my sister was born, my stepdad was sent back to Chile. And he had to go back and he had to reapply to come back to Canada. And he had to do all these immigration papers and apply as a landed immigrant. And so 2 weeks after my sister was born, there we were at the airport saying bye to Dad. And he was going to be gone for a year at least. And all of a sudden, this good year that we had started kind of went downhill real quick for us. And so it was myself, my twin brother, my mom, and newborn baby. And we were poor. We were dirt poor. We lived in low-income housing. We were on social services. And it looked bleak. Back then, what Calgary would do, and I think probably other cities would do, is in the local paper, in the Calgary Sun, just before Christmas, a couple weeks before Christmas, what they would do is they would have a two-page spread, and they would have all these profiles of families that you could adopt for Christmas. And so companies would adopt them, or other families would adopt them. And we had a social worker, and she got our name into that paper. And I remember opening the paper and seeing us with a little picture and a description, single mom, three kids, low income, immigrants. And there we were for the whole world. Like, I knew that I was poor growing up because of where I lived and the kids that we hung out with. We were poor, and we knew it. But now the whole world knew it. There we were. And a family adopted us for Christmas that year. And so about a week before Christmas, my mom gets a phone call. She answers that call, and we knew it was something special or different because my mom was speaking in English, which didn't happen very often on the phone. And she talked for a little while, and then what she did was she called me over, and she said, Claudio, someone wants to talk to you. And I thought this was strange. I mean, who's calling me? Who's calling me that my mom was speaking to in English? So I take that phone, and I'm like, hello? And there's a man on the other line. And he says, this is Santa. And I didn't get a letter from you this year. So I was wondering if there was anything that you would like. I couldn't believe it. I was talking to Santa Claus. And so back in the 80s, you have to remember this is the 80s, the Smurfs were a big thing. And I wanted nothing more than a stuffy of Papa Smurf. And I knew that we were so poor that that's not something that I would have ever put on my list. I remember seeing them. We'd go to Kmart or Walmart, or not Walmart, Kmart or Woolworth, and you would see the Papa Smurfs. But I didn't think I'd ever get it. And here I had Santa on the phone, and he said, what, is there something you would like? And I said, yeah. And I told him, I would really like a stuffed Papa Smurf. And then I forgot about it, as kids do, right? You just kind of go on with your life. A couple nights before Christmas Eve, there's a knock on our door. It's late in the evening, and there's a knock on the door, and there's this man standing there with two big hampers. One of the hampers is full of food and turkey and all kinds of stuff. And then the other hamper was full of gifts, all wrapped up. And he says, hey, I'm a friend of Santa's. And he asked me if I could deliver these ones a little bit early for you. Well, we're over the moon. We can't believe this is happening, me and my twin brother. And so the gifts go under the tree, and that Christmas Eve. We open our presents on Christmas Eve because we're Latinos, and we can't wait till the 25th. My mom opens presents like a week early. All right? So Christmas Eve, we're opening presents, and then my mom hands me and my twin brother, she hands us these gifts that we had from Santa. And I open it up, and there's Papa Smurf. I couldn't believe it. It was too much to bear. Even as I tell the story, I'm overcome with emotion. Was this real life? I didn't know how to put those emotions into words back then. But as I look back now and I share the story, I know that I felt heard and that I felt seen, that I felt cared for. But most of all, I felt loved. The power of a gift can change everything. And so this season, we've been looking at the power of gifts, the gifts of Christmas. We've looked at hope. And not that hope that I had on Tuesday at the mall where I'm like, oh, I hope there's a parking spot for me. Because it's a million people out here. If you can go to the next slide, I'd appreciate that. So not that kind of hope, but a deeper sense of hope. Hope as light in the darkness. And because of the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, what we have, the gift that is offered to us, is a gift of eternal life. But not just that, but also a hope in the here, in the now, present in our lives to experience now. No matter what the struggles may be or the circumstances may be that you're going through, because we all have them. We all go through something at some point in our lives. But this gift of hope is the light in the darkness. Hebrews 6:19 describes it as our hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It's like that anchor that holds that ship steady in the middle of a storm. We know about windstorms and storms here. We've had a bunch of windstorms here the last few weeks. You just have to go down to Esquimalt Lagoon and you can see how that landscape has changed in front. The wind and the water have just kind of washed some of the beach out. And you can see how hard and how impactful a storm can be in your life. But that hope that we have from Jesus, that hope that's given to us, it's like that anchor for us. It holds us in the middle of storms. And then we looked at love. Here's what I know about the Bible. I know that the Bible really is just one big love story. And I'm a reader. I love books. I read all the time. I'm a science fiction guy, and I'm a fantasy guy. I love my hard science fiction. The more robots in a story, the better the story is. Like, robots, zero emotion. I am not a romance novel kind of guy. My daughter, on the other hand, oh, if it doesn't have romance, it's not worth reading. Let me tell you, there's some romance happening. I'm like, this guy has a crush on this person, and that girl has a crush on this. Everyone has a crush on everybody. It's lovey-dovey. I'm like, where are you getting this stuff? But the Bible is a love story. It's God's love story for us. John 3:16. For here's the way that God loved the world. He gave his only and unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. The message in this verse is the core of what we believe. God loves you. If you've never heard this before until this morning, let me reassure you, God loves you. He invites us to bring all our cares and all our concerns to him. He doesn't ask us to ignore our worries or our anxiousness in order to experience his love. Sometimes we think we gotta clean up and get rid of all that stuff before we can have any kind of love with God. And he's not saying that. He's saying, bring that stuff to me and surrender it to me. And what I'm going to do with all your deepest pain and hurts is I'm going to fill you up with my love. And the good news about all of this is that that love that he gives you through his son, Jesus, it's enough. It's enough to carry you. And I don't know about you, but I need to be carried a lot of the time. I need someone to carry me. Joy. Joy is a big gift in a small package. And it's more than just a feeling. Like, joy is different than happiness. Like, last week, a friend of mine, I'm not going to say who or where he did this. A friend of mine, he talked about happiness and he talked about sports and all this kind of stuff. And he said, hey, here's a story about happiness. There's this guy I know who really likes the Philadelphia Eagles and his team was about to win the Super Bowl. And he was super happy about it. And then they didn't. And he wasn't so happy anymore. That afternoon, after that little message that I heard, there was some football to be played. My team, the Philadelphia Eagles, go Eagles go, fly, Eagles fly. They didn't just win. They ran through the other team. This particular friend of mine, who I'm not going to name this morning, Seahawks fan. Why, I don't know. His team, and the most awful bright neon green uniforms in the history of sports, well, they lost. Imagine. I was pretty happy. Not gonna lie. I was. But that kind of happiness, it's actually kind of fleeting. It doesn't stick around. I was happy for a while, and then I went on with my afternoon. I didn't hang on to it. Because it doesn't have a lot of staying power, that kind of happiness, does it? But joy, on the other hand, joy has depth. What joy does is impacts your life. And so we have this hope and knowing that God wants to participate in our life journeys. And we know that he does this through Jesus because of his great love for us. And this should cause us great joy. The Psalms describe joy very often. And Psalm 96, 11, 13 reads it like this. Let the skies sing for joy. Let the earth join in the chorus. Let oceans thunder and fields echo this ecstatic praise until every swaying tree of every forest joins in, lifting up their songs of joyous praise to him. Joy, unspeakable joy. Even in the struggles and the suffering and the pain and the grief and the stress that we carry, we have joy offered to us through Jesus. More than an emotion, joy reaches to your very core. And then we looked at peace. Peace is defined as the freedom from disturbance. It's quiet and tranquility. But the truth is, that world that Jesus was born into, it actually wasn't at peace. Not really. There was a huge divide by God and his people. And the nations were in conflict. And there was conflict among families and races. The hearts of men were at unrest. Does this sound familiar to you today? Nations in conflict. Turn on the news. You don't have to look very far. Families in conflict. Hearts of many at unrest. We don't find ourselves in a peaceful time. But when Jesus came that very night, he came as the Prince of Peace. And the first thing that Jesus does is that he offers us and brings peace between us and God. He is the way in which our relationship with God is restored. And then, as we continue to encounter Jesus, he offers us peace for the here and now every day. So we don't have to keep waiting for peace down the road. We can experience his peace every day in our lives. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God's peace shows up even in situations that don't make sense for us or to us. Situations that are beyond our understanding, his peace still shows up. When we're crying out, why me? Why this? Why now? His peace shows up even if it doesn't make sense to you. Because the peace of Jesus is strong and it's powerful and it will guard your heart and mind. And these are all wonderful, wonderful gifts. They really are. But the common thread that goes through all of these gifts is Jesus. He's the true gift of Christmas. All those other gifts, hope, love, joy, peace, they come from him. But here's the beauty of all of this. He doesn't just offer these as a gift. He is these gifts. In his own person, he is hope. And he is love. And he is joy. And he is peace. He's the hope bringer. And he's love come down. and he's joy fulfilled. He is the peacemaker. Jesus is the bringer of eternal life and a relationship with God the Father. He gives life to the full. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is that gift that entered the world as a fragile little infant, one of us. Isn't that how we all came to be? But he is also the God that's so loving and so powerful that he willingly stretched out his arms on a cross later in life to carry our sins and our shame and our burdens and our death, to make a way for us to himself. So I want you to think about that gift that you thought of earlier, that one that filled your heart right up, that one that caught your emotions, the one that made you feel loved. And as good as that felt, it doesn't compare to the gift of Jesus in your life. I'm going to invite Dorothy and her team to come on up. We're going to light our Advent calendar, or Advent candles this morning. Beautiful. I love it. And if you don't know, we celebrate Advent during this season and we light our candles, and each candle represents one of these gifts. It represents each one of these gifts. We have hope, and we have love, and we have joy, and we have peace. And each fourth candle represents that, and our fifth candle represents the greatest gift, and that's Jesus. Anna doesn't light the barbecue at her house. Someone else does it. That's okay. I have to light it at my house. That's right. And then we light our last candle, and that represents the greatest gift, and that is Jesus. Thank you for that. What I want to say to you this morning is this. The light of the world is reaching for you today. And he is extending hope and love and joy and peace. And if you've never heard that before and you want that in your life, I invite you to receive God's gift this morning. To receive his one and only Son. I guarantee you, if you say yes to him, your heart will be bursting and you will be loved. Amen.